G. Bush in the building. What's up, man?
My triumphant return to the airwaves.
Your triumphant. I like that you tweet out about it because, one, it promotes the show, which I appreciate. But then I liked Earl's response. Earl's response was like, about time. It's like, gee, I ask you once every 2 months to come on the show. I ask you all the time to come on the show. You know when I'm hosting and Nick's out, you have an open table to come on
the
show.
You know, the green light is there. You know what I'm saying? That's right. The moon and the stars aligned at this point in time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then Keith called me early. He called me early during the week. He was, I'm like, man, that's 2 weeks notice. There ain't even really nothing going on. It's the day before the holiday. I said, man, you know what? Let me go ahead and pull the trigger on this one.
I do think it helped that we just saw each other at Dustin's wedding. That had to have helped, right?
Yeah. Listen, I was like, oh, what's up, fellas? And I'm like, you know what? I do like y'all. I do like talking to y'all people.
I had to ask yourself again. It's like, I like these people.
I said, man, I had a real good time, man. I'm going to have to go see them some more. We had a good time. We hung out. We talked about all kind of crazy stuff. It was beautiful. So I was like, man, you know what? I said, I got to go. I got to get in there. And plus, it's the summer. You know what I'm saying? The summertime, there's a lot of good stories. Some people don't be liking the summer. No, I love the summer.
We were born in summer talk radio, me and you. Like, this is where we thrive. Because historically, you get so many shifts and opportunities in summer talk radio. So people like me and you just know how to do it.
Yeah, it's like, it's a little more laid back atmosphere. It's like, hey, my dude's going to come over. We're not going to hardcore drink. We're just going to have some, you know what I'm saying, men and cocktails with some, you know, maybe a spiked lemonade or something. You hang out. But it's a much more laid back atmosphere.
Like, summer sports talk radio really is, though, the cooler's open with just about everything. And you got to million different choices and options. Like sometimes, like during football season, you open it up and you got domestic light and colds, and that's it. that's all you're drinking. That's the only option you got. You're talking football and football alone. You come during the summer, we got all sorts of different beverages and things you can choose from.
You can look around and you can even deviate and get in the weeds a little bit. But it's a nice little atmosphere. So, but listen, I always pick the best days, because I'm gonna tell you what, I saw your little rundown.
Yeah.
You got some fire on here.
Well, so the problem is that obviously we want to a lot of football, but there's a lot of basketball in here, and then we got to talk about the big story of the day. And so you mentioned the good atmosphere. There's not many good vibes around Guardians baseball right now, and there's not many good vibes around this story with Luis Ortiz. The idea that, and now we got the updated reports on it around noon or so, we knew that he was obviously suspended. You get paid leave by Major League Baseball, and it's going to be through the All-Star break, right? We knew that information, and at the time, it was just an awful situation where people were debating, is it something with, like, sexual assault, or is it something with gambling? Now, there's some pros and cons if you want to go down that road.
Yeah.
If you want to think about it from a baseball perspective or a human perspective. From a human perspective, I was rooting for Ortiz to be guilty of gambling. Because if you're guilty of the other side of things, like, let's say, I don't know, beating up your wife, and you're just a bad person.
Yeah.
And, like, although the odd part about that, though, is that baseball actually looks friendlier upon those type of situations than they do of the situation that Ortiz is now under investigation for, which is gambling. Baseball comes down hard on people that gamble on their sports. We don't need to ask Pete Rose, who's dead and can't be asked anyway, how hard they come down on you for gambling on their sport. I got a million different examples here, G. Bush, and obviously we can get into it as the day moves on. But there was a minor leaguer not too long ago it was 2024. A's pitcher ended up being in the minors. He got suspended for a whole entire year. What was his crime? It was gambling $100 worth of bets 4 years prior. Michael Kelly is his name. Wow. Like that's what baseball does to you if you gamble on their sport. Aroldis Chapman was able to go back and pitch in the World Series. You know, like you can come back. You can bounce back in baseball's eyes from that. There's other guys like Marcano, the Padres infielder, banned for life for betting on baseball. This is something baseball just cares a bunch about.
Man, listen, when I saw it, I said, oh, I thought exactly what you thought. I'm like, oh, they got that police footage. I don't know if he got arrested, what he was doing, maybe a DUI. But I said, they wouldn't trip that much about the DUI. And then they said, gambling? I said, oh, no. If they did a deep dive into Shohei Ohtani, and it wasn't even him,
it was the interpreter,
the guy that right.
Have you looked on TMZ? I went like a week ago. You see what he's being served in prison? It was a TMZ story, like what he's actually being served on a day-in, day-out basis.
Is he in prison in Japan, or is he in prison in the United States?
No, it's United States, but it's like one of those. It's a softer prison.
Okay,
and Shohei got him a good landing.
Yeah, there it is.
He got baked fish on the menu. He's not eating that bad. I've had worse days of meals than whatever his name is. I can't even say his name properly anymore. anymore, man, when he's being served in prison.
Man, listen, you know, you do not want to be in no prison in random Asian countries. That they do not play over there.
I don't want to be in prison in any country.
But
random Asian countries especially.
No, like, you just, like, they over there, they don't believe in
no, they don't care. They're like, you gambled in America. Yeah, what do we care about you?
You had gum in your mouth and you dropped it on the sidewalk. What are you doing? You're a criminal. You're in trouble. But no, like, when you look at this, this is a thing that we wanted to... When gambling came in Ohio, because gambling was not illegal to a couple years ago,
yeah,
it was a boom all over the industry. They was grabbing people left and right. Hey, do you want to advertise this? Do you want to advertise this? We got a gambling show. We'll sponsor you. And then you take a look at what the trickle-down theory was to when it comes to players. And it's like, they make it so easy on FanDuel. They make it so easy. And for a while, they was giving out money for you so you can bet. And you're looking around, and I'm thinking, there has to be some guy. There has to be someone somewhere, some guy somewhere putting a little cash down on a
You talking like players wise?
Yes.
Because we've seen some instances, right? Calvin Ridley in the NFL, that's an instance. The Jameson Williams as well. He got his reduced. He was 6 games. It got reduced down to 4. But like the NFLs, we've seen guys. We saw Jonte Porter in NBA. We're going to talk about Malik Beasley because I got other things to discuss there. And then in baseball. In baseball, we watched Marcano get banned for life. We watched 4 other guys get suspended for a year. Like we've seen guys fall through the cracks and go down this road.
How is it that this is crazy to me? Like, shout out to investigations, right? But
how do they find this out?
How are you getting 4-year data prior to how did
yeah, that was pretty wild.
This together?
That's pretty wild. The Michael Kelly situation, the bets were made when he was a minor leaguer back in 2021. It was for $99.22, and they found out about it 3 years later. Got suspended in 2024. Like, that's how serious they take this stuff, though. Like, that's why people are like, oh, Ortiz could have had all sorts of different accounts, or he just needed to be sneakier about it, or he just needed to do this. Like, I don't think people understand the lengths that Major League Baseball and all these different sporting leagues have to go to make sure that these games are on the up and up. Because the moment you think Ortiz is just throwing meatballs down the middle for home runs to hit a parlay, we got issues on our hands.
When
the integrity of the game is actually compromised in a certain way? Like, I'm sure you watched different clips with Malik Beasley, because that was going very, very online over the previous few days.
Man.
I was like, I watched clips, I'm like... It's a 9-point game. The spread is 8.5, and there's 3.5 seconds left in the game, and you're sprinting down the court to score a basket. Tell me how you're innocent.
There is no way he's getting up out of that. I mean, he was. You ever see a kid who, like, you know, the ref blows the whistle, and it's an inadvertent whistle, and it's at a little YMCA game, and the kid goes sprinting down the lane, and he gets his bucket, and everybody's just like, yeah, like we got one over
what it
on you.
Like. Yeah.
And I'm like, Malik Beasley, bro, you are going to jail, bro. That right there is the smoking gun. If we ever, and you know how they do it in the NBA. You know how they do it. They don't be doing, you can't, if it's the game is over within tow, you get the ball, you bring it to the forecourt, you dribble the basketball out. That's what they do.
I mean, it's done. It's 3.5 seconds left. You don't That's go it. Court to court or coast to coast trying to score. You just don't.
And I heard he scored like 9 points in the last like 6 minutes of the game, 6 seconds or something stupid of the game.
So he was a little too obvious. And I think, so in Malik Beasley's case, I think it's a little different than Ortiz. And I'll separate them out in a second. I think Beasley was desperate people do desperate things. Like, that man made $60 million in his career, but we've since found out that he owed $60,000 to his barber. He owed $30,000. Like, to really places you shouldn't owe that type of money to, he was owing that type. And this is, I'm talking to the barber shop here. How do you owe your barber that much money?
That's wild work. I mean, how much is these fades?
It was all sorts of different loans that he was taking out with different people. His management that he was owed a bunch of money for. Delicate Smiles, a place that does like a bunch of dental work. A loan agreement for $30,000 in exchange for a $20,000 advance. Cairo Cuts is what it was. Lent him another $9,000, another hair spot. Like he just kept doing things like that. And in fact, he got a place that Dan Gilbert owns that's in the Detroit Free Press that they put out there that he was borrowing all sorts of money from. Like, desperate people do desperate things. But when you're worth $60 million, in the case of Malik Beasley, I just think you're a deadbeat is all that is. In the case of Luis Ortiz, here's where I think baseball might have a blind spot, G. Luis Ortiz has made a little over $2 million in his career. You know this because you've been around a lot of athletes. $2 million in your career at this point.
Life.
You got taxes and you got agents, and then you have friends and buddies and everything else out of the sorts. But the taxes and the agents take out 50% of that right off the rip,
so
right?
So he got $1 million. And the agent get 10%, so he got about $900,000.
And he's making about $750,000 this year, whatever it is. But like, if he's made $2.2 million in his entire baseball career, and we've already chopped that down to about $900,000, like, he falls in that category, especially as a pitcher. He falls in that category of someone that can greatly influence a baseball game because he's a starting pitcher, mm-hmm. while also being the type of person that might be incentivized to actually try to make bets on these games. And that's where I think baseball's got a problem the other sports really shouldn't. Malik Beasley, I think you're just a deadbeat. You have $60 million. You have no reason to try to bet and gamble on any of these games. There's no amount of money you'd make gambling that could go ahead and offset the amount of money you can make in your NBA career. Meanwhile, Luis Ortiz is a Tommy John surgery away from never playing the game again.
You take a look at look at the guys on the Guardians roster. Shane Bieber was itching to get that payday.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan McKenzie was, all reports, he was 4 or 5 seconds away from signing his deal.
Yeah.
And he has Tommy John surgery. You say $2 million, and a lot of people think $2 million is crazy. $2 million is not crazy like that, especially when you got high habits, you got in terms of spending money, people believe you have the money. And if you come from a certain specific group of people, if you come from a poor background, you're richer than God in those communities. So
yeah.
How many rents is he paying? How many electric bills is he paying?
And even just giving off the appearance that he plays in Major League Baseball is expensive.
I saw you on TV. You're rich. Yeah. There's no debating that. The thing is about pitchers, the crazy thing about pitchers is when they have the opportunity to affect the game so easy, and it's hard to prove it. It's like, hey, did you really throw the ball down the middle of the plate so somebody can hit a home run? You're like, listen, I was just a little wild in the zone. I just missed mm-hmm. my spots, right?
Yeah.
How can you prove that? You know what I mean?
And that's part of the problem in all of these discussions. Like, how do you prove that? There's an easy way that Ortiz could have been doing this. And again, we don't know the extent of this, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, this is gambling. We don't know if he was impacting games he was directly involved in, which if he was, he's never playing in baseball again.
Yeah.
Or if he was gambling on games that involved the Guardians, which would probably be about a year suspension or something like that. I mean, he's gone for the rest of the season. Or the other option, maybe it's like a Jameson Williams story where Jameson was, he's with the Lions, but he's gambling on college football. And then it's like, all right, it wasn't the NFL. It's not great. We told you not to gamble on things, but all right, we'll cut it down to 4 games. Like, maybe Ortiz happens to love gambling on ping pong or something.
Right.
I don't know. You tell me. Like, we'll make up a random. People love gambling on ping pong right now. I don't know why. It's all the rage. Degenerates love ping pong. I think there's a lot of high variance there.
Because I think everybody is looking for the hey, I got a way to get in this thing. This right
and they think that they're going to outsmart it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can't outsmart baseball, basketball, or football, but we can outsmart ping pong?
Yes.
So, like, I don't know. Maybe he got into that. I got a couple buddies that have gotten really into gambling on ping pong late at night. It's a wild thing. But, like, maybe he's found his avenue there. And so in that case, maybe it's not the end of the world. Maybe that will turn out to be a little bit more than a slap on the wrist, but maybe we'll see him pitch again in a Guardians uniform. But the other situations, G, I just don't know how baseball – I for this year – until proven otherwise, Ortiz is not in this rotation anymore.
Well, listen, we talked about the trade, right? And listen, I know Jimenez is not playing very well. I know he's not very good. At least,
And Spencer Horwitz, the guy they traded with him for the Pirates, like, he's not having the most awesome season ever either.
Right. So, but here's the thing. He is an able arm. He's a guy that was in your rotation, and now he's out of your rotation.
He's more than just a guy that was in our rotation. I mean, I looked it up earlier today. From May 5th on, G, he was the second best starting pitcher in this rotation per wins above replacement. Like, just from an actual productive standpoint, from May 5th on, he was the second best starting pitcher in this rotation.
And he has the potential to be gone the whole year. I mean,
the assumption right now is he's gone the whole year in my mind.
Because until
we learn otherwise, that I'm playing with that idea that you will not see Ortiz pitch again in a Guardians uniform this year.
Because if they wouldn't have suspended him if there was not enough smoke for them to have this type of investigation, would they?
I mean, so that's where it gets open to interpretation, right? Because it's not like we have a million cases of this, and it's not like we have a million instances to draw back on. Baseball, I feel like they should act quicker than later. So, like, maybe there is a gray area here, and that's why I'm hesitant to say we'll just never see him again. That's why I say until proven otherwise, I don't think I'll see him again. Because, like, baseball even has the slightest hint of you blowing games or doing something you shouldn't be doing, they got to take you out.
Yeah, you're out of here. You're on ice for a little bit. This don't look good for the homie. And a lot of these, too, I'm wondering if it's a lot of these guys are funneling this through friends and family members trying to be like, oh, I ain't had nothing to do with it. This was my friend or my guy, or is it more of an inside information situation where it's like, hey, mm-hmm. listen, we're not going to start so-and-so today. Go ahead and put that bread down.
No, so we've had a couple different instances of that where players they've used other people as conduits to go ahead and make their bets and gamble that way. And ultimately it gets sniffed out and I'm sure there are instances that baseball is not caught. I'm not saying they're 100% perfect, but in this instance with Ortiz, they got something on him. And yeah. as good as he's been, if I'm the Guardians right now, you have to move forward with the idea that until baseball tells you otherwise, he's not going to see any field mound for the rest of the year. What do you got, Mac?
So I was doing some research into the MLB gambling policy. You are permitted to bet on other sports like football, soccer, basketball, and you can participate in other fantasy leagues. Baseball, they prohibit any betting on any level of baseball, professional, amateur. And then they also ban you from fantasy baseball as well, and just strictly baseball in particular. So,
okay, so that's good to know. So it couldn't be ping pong, yeah. But maybe it just was the College World Series that happened or something. Like, we never know.
But think about this, though. Sometimes when you get to a point where you're gambling on other things, right, you can run up a debt. You can run up a crazy hole.
Well, that's where I say desperate people do desperate things.
And then you're like, okay, well, I'm just doing basketball. I'm just doing football. I'm doing other things that really don't matter. But then all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm down 100,000. I mean, maybe all I got to do is really, like, man, I could win this little prop bet and I'm halfway out of it. Nobody mm-hmm. will ever know. I mean, it's, and then you get a little greedy and you talk yourself into it. And then all of a sudden you do it once. Nobody says anything. You do it again, you're like, this is golden, until you get to a point where now it's a consistent behavior and you're thinking ain't nobody seeing you, but they're watching.
They're watching. 216-474-0092. Does sports have a gambling problem? More importantly, does baseball have a little bit of a gambling blind spot? 216-474-0092. G. Bush, Jonathan Peedle, an afternoon drive right here on the Fan. The first alert that was triggered, okay, according to sources that reviewed them, it was a June 15th play. To be either a ball or a hit batsman, and Ortiz opened the inning with a slider well outside the strike zone, very far away from the strike zone. The second alert that set off this, so the one of the people that does this investigations and kind of keeps in track for Major League Baseball, they're the ones that are like saying, hey, something's not right here. It's called, the firm is called IC360. They're the ones that's in charge of all this, okay? So when they see something suspicious happening, they send it to Major League Baseball. They thought the first alert was suspicious. And then they thought the second alert was suspicious as well. This was a June 27th game against the Cardinals. Top of the third inning, the bet would have been to be a ball or a hit batsman. Ortiz opened the inning with a slider even farther outside the strike zone than the one that happened in the June 15th game against the Mariners. Both alerts were flag bets in Ohio, New York, and New Jersey. Now, kind of like the Jonte Porter situation where people are like, why is something funny happening here? Well, something funny was happening because nobody bets $50,000 on Jonte Porter prop bets. Nobody bets apparently what the amount was. We don't know what the amount was, but nobody clearly bets the amounts that we bet in Ohio, New York, and New Jersey on a ball happening in the top of the second inning in one game and the top of the third inning happening in another game. And that's what then got flagged. And that's why people are, that's why this whole thing is under investigation.
Yeah. I thought as I'm sitting here, I'm like,
sorry if that was a lot.
No. That was perfect. Cause I'm sitting there thinking like, how are you guys picking that up? And from what I'm gathering from what you just told me, it's not really necessarily that, you know, It was a crazy pitch, and it was obviously it was two sliders that was outside of the strike zone. But the thing that got me was it's the money. It's the amount that you're betting on that. Like, mm-hmm. if you got 50, 60, 70,000, heck, if you got $5,000 on a ball or hit batsman, now it would have been funny if those guys got hit twice. I would be like, that's kind of weird. But it was just two balls. But I think they got caught, their hands got caught in the cookie jar and not looking at the long play. Like, you can't bet large sums of money on very obscure betting props.
Exactly right.
And hope nobody's going to notice. They're like, they probably pulled up the analytics. They was like, listen.
All right, well, they know. They know how much action they're supposed to get in any given game, based on, especially on the stupid little ones like striker ball to lead off an inning.
Or little small ones like that, they're probably looking over the whole system and they're like, listen, the median or average bet that we're getting on this action is maybe $100.
Well, so like, do you remember the ex-Alabama baseball coach? His name was Brad Bohannon. And so it popped up, it was a couple years ago, and I've used him as an example moving forward. So what happened with him was he had a pitcher, and then he ended up scratching the pitcher, and then they found out later that a large bet was made in that time frame in between before he alerted people and everything in between. It's like a $100,000 bet.
No.
And it's like, what kind of idiot do you think you are?
Yeah.
Like you can't place a $100,000 bet on a game. Like, Vegas knows.
Yeah.
There aren't $100,000 bets. People think that like these bets are happening all the time.
Nah.
$100,000 bets on college baseball games don't happen. Same thing with this instance. If it's worth $50,000, if it's worth even $15,000, these type of bets aren't being placed on individual pitches on random games in June with the Guardians and the Cardinals.
And then what they're going to really do is how I think they really get people pinched is when you take a look at specifically who they're running these through. Because obviously they're not running their own bets, right? They're having somebody go in, make this bet, whatever the case may be.
Well, this involved multi-states, too. So this is, I mean, this isn't like a, because there's a part of me that thinks, all right, maybe somebody in Ohio just has a very big gambling problem. They were down a lot in the day, and they just threw a Hail Mary out there, and you get a $100,000 bet on a ball or a strike, because you're basically doing a coin flip at that point.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You're betting heads or tails at that point. So maybe they just looked at it like, I'll bet that, and they did it, and they did it twice. This is multi-states.
And if you see $50,000 here, $50,000 in that state, $50,000 in that state, and people don't know. They get the rude awakening because they wait for that immediate bet. they wait for that immediate payout because they're like, oh, listen, let's go. The payout is coming, and then you get that email, you get that notification. You know, right now the processing is taking a little slower.
You've gotten that email, huh?
We're gonna have to reach out to you, yeah. Talk to you real quick. Like, you're like, hold on. I won that 35 leg parlay fair and square. I can't help it. I need that bag today. Like, you know, and when they didn't get that bag and they start rounding these dudes up, and then, oh, you didn't get the payout, you start talking on the phone. Now they got they get the phone records. You done called somebody else. Hey, man, I placed that bet, man. It's telling me that the account is frozen. Oh, really? Now you on the phone text messaging between people saying, hey, what's going on? We're trying to figure something out. And you don't think these people, if the federal government has the wherewithal to get all this stuff locked up and tapes and all that? Yeah. Come on, bro. You gotta, if they was doing this, do you think if they were doing it like 100 or 200 at a time?
Yeah.
It would be less, like, you probably couldn't even prove that.
You wouldn't know. I mean, it just wouldn't get flagged the same way. Yeah. Like, if you bet $100 and if you, I mean, again, it's such a tiny amount. I don't know why Luis Ortiz would go along with it for $100 for pocket change.
Facts. Why?
But you could. Yes. In theory, you could be like, hey, top of the third inning, just throw a ball, win me $150. We'll just make it look like I just had a one-time bet. For sure, you could do that all day long, I would imagine, and it wouldn't get flagged. It's the volume. It's the fact that it crossed three different states. That's part of this. And the idea that we don't know what the value was, but the value had to have been immense enough and high enough where the flags were sounded, the alarms were sounded off.
And they do, rightfully so. By the way, they do this in casinos. Like, when they get high rollers and people that's coming in here, and I'm, you know, Charles Barkley talks about it. You know, you come in there and you got a bunch of money and you got at the high rollers table. Vegas is looking around. They're looking around like, hold on. Why is all these dudes at this table? Is they cheating? Is they card counting? Even if you just straight up card counting, it ain't illegal, but you got to get up out of here.
Right.
And so, like, I think people don't look at it.
You've watched those TikTok videos where they come in, they take the guys that are card counting, and they're just like, we just don't want you to play here anymore.
You're
winning a little bit too much.
Cash your chips out.
Take your free beverage.
Please, you know, go to another table.
Exit stage left.
Even when you're making wire transfers, any transaction over $10,000 is flagged.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know why people think that large sums of money are just being maneuvered through the country always. And it's just like it's not the case. It just isn't. All of these things are heavily, heavily monitored. And so that's the part where I can't figure out in my mind if this is the type of infraction that Guardians fans are going to get livid about, or are just going to say, well, it was a ball in a random game against the Cardinals, and it was a ball to lead off an inning against the Mariners. I can't even tell you if it impacted the at-bats in any sort of real way outside of just giving a 1-0 count to the hitter. Like, there's a difference between throwing meatballs down the plate and socking it to the moon, and that's how Ortiz ends up, losing money, but also, winning money, but then losing the Guardians the game, versus this, which is just, I threw a ball in the top of an inning in a random June game to try to win some money. Neither one baseball is going to look fondly on.
Yeah.
You'll still probably get banned for life if proven that you threw this ball intentionally, but I just don't know how Guardians fans will be taking this.
Yeah, it's...
Because there is a no harm, no foul to some degree.
I think in a greater
sense.
It's
not intentionally throwing the game.
The Guardians kind of operate in this purgatory where we'll celebrate them when they win. And they're like, oh, you guys ran very well. You do the most with the least. You're competitive, more competitive traditionally than the Cavs and the Browns. So when these stories come out, it's like, okay, it is a story. But how much does it stick? Because it's the Guardians. It's not. It's say, for instance, if this instead of Luis.
Well, I mean, this is a sports gambling story in general. So this is national news. This is going to be the big story. And especially since it happened on July 3rd, it's going to draw a lot of attention.
Now, can you imagine if it was the Browns?
I just want you to remove yourself from all of that for a second. Remove yourself, because obviously if it was the Browns, we talk about it for 7 days straight, and it's just reality. But just the idea that, maybe I shouldn't have said Guardians. Maybe just a baseball fan out there. How's the baseball fan in Texas look at the idea that Ortiz threw a ball to lead off the second inning and a ball to lead off the third inning? Are we looking? I don't think anyone's looking at that the same way you looked at Pete Rose, who was trying to gamble on games, even if he was trying to impact the outcome or not. I don't think people are looking at it like Jontay Porter, who was clearly just for his own prop bets and was what it was, but that was impacting the actual score of these games. Like this didn't impact the score in any sort of way.
I look at it like it's such a gray area.
It's obviously not great. We know that.
It's a gray area because there's really no...
But how bad is it?
It's really no smoking gun. It's not like, remember, we just talked about it. If the bet is you're going to hit a pitcher or you're going to hit a batter and he hit five or six guys, how often do guys hit guys in Major League Baseball? Not very often.
Not very often.
And so that's a smoking gun. It's like, come on, man. You just randomly hitting guys.
But if this goes back to, let's say, it being Ortiz's family members or Ortiz's friends that are placing these type of bets, and you can make an obvious link, because there's no other reason why someone with the last name Ortiz, and we don't have these connections yet, but there's no reason why someone with the last name Ortiz would be betting $100,000 on ball a ball to be the first pitch of the third inning.
Yeah, it's a wrap. If it's that, that is a big deal. You know why? Because then I can take a step forward and say, I could say that all of it's cheating. There are people who will take the next step and say, if you're betting on that minute of a thing, well, what are you guys betting on that are really big things?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can question whether or not anything is for real. Like, I'm going to question, and you know how people think of conspiracy theories today.
Yeah.
I think it is a big deal because, hey, like, this is right in your face. It's not that hard, and the dots are connected very quickly. It's not that difficult to see, like, wow, if they're doing this, what else are they doing?
I mean, and that's how baseball's got to treat this. And that's how I think they will treat it, by the way. All right, leave that there. We'll get back to it a little bit later on. We got a lot of NBA guests to get to today, by the way. We got a bunch of different people and a bunch of different things lined up, including Jason Timpf at 540. I love him. Love his work with Coward. Think he's fantastic. He'll join us. But Quick Hits comes your way next. It's Jonathan Pito and Garrett Bush, Afternoon Drive, with you guys right here on The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, we actually do have a little bit of breaking news across the NFL here. The Steelers have signed general manager Omar Khan to a new 3-year contract. The Khan father, as they call him in Pittsburgh. He gets a 3-year deal, which... he's not really making too many decisions right now anyway. Like, Mike Tomlin is the one that's calling all the shots these days. And on top of it, the way that the Steelers have been acting this offseason has been very, very weird. They're not paying TJ Watt. We can talk about that in a little bit. But the idea that you would you make the trade for Jalen Ramsey, which is something that the Steelers just don't do, and the trade for DK Metcalf is something historically they just don't do. Gee, you've been watching Steelers football your whole entire life. You know what? They just don't make those type of moves.
They've never done any yet. First of all, you got Aaron Rodgers. You're like, oh, okay, that's tough in itself. DK Metcalf, they make the move. You trade Minkah Fitzpatrick. You gave him the contract. They're like, well, he wasn't making enough splash plays. Where is the development? The Steelers are known for, hey, we draft Steelers guys, we develop Steelers guys, and they go on to be great.
That's what they do.
They are acting like regular teams right now. Like, they got an offseason policy like the Cardinals or something. Like, just random. Like, yeah, we like that guy. He was good a couple of years ago. Let's take him. It does not
seem... they're playing Madden or something.
Yeah, like this is not a Steelers-esque type offseason or the last couple of years.
And so as weird as this is, then to give your GM a three-year extension off of that seems even more puzzling.
And remember, I'm all for the smoke. Listen, we've been taking L's for 35, 40 years. They could go through a five-year period where they kind of confused about things.
Well, think about it. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game since the season that the Cavs won the title. Think about how long that was. When you put it in those terms, it's been a while. It's been a long while.
Yeah, listen, I tell you what. Hey, Bill Simmons, he said the new CBA is terrible. This is courtesy of Bill Simmons podcast.
The new CBA is just an apocalypse. It's one of the worst things that I can remember in any pro sports league, how it played out this way, where you have good teams basically sabotaging themselves because they're so afraid of these penalties that I don't know who wanted. I don't know who the penalties serve other than the owners as a check and a balance for them not to spend too much money.
I mean, it is making it a weird field for the NBA. You know, like it doesn't seem like it's fun when the Celtics, and listen, it's fun rooting against the Celtics, but they build together what's supposed to be a dynasty. They get one title and then one injury and they have to blow it all up.
You go back and look at it. You talk about this. Look at the main flag stations. The LA Lakers sold. Boston Celtics sold.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban gets out of the game. Mm-hmm. These are foundational pieces. That tells me something. When people having trouble paying payroll, when people got to pay three guys or two guys $300 million apiece, and they're like, I'm going to punt on this a little bit. I don't think this is having the intended consequences that they thought it would have. I think it got to a point where you're looking at it like, now we have to blow things up because we can't put people on the roster. No mid-level exceptions are available, no signing trades, different things like that. It's kind of wild that this is where we're at with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's good for the sport. I don't. It's not that I'm clamoring for a bunch of dynasties and a bunch of super teams, but I also don't love the idea that you get like such a short window and then you have to blow everything up. It doesn't. I think like the ramifications of this right now, it might feel fun, but I think like 3-4 years from now, I think we're going to look at it and be like, I kind of like when teams stay on the same team or players stay on the same teams. Mm-hmm. And I like when we have some continuity within the sport.
Yeah.
Omaha! All right. Ken had a dog pound idea. So they've not announced in Brook Park with the new stadium if the dog pound's going to be invited. There were some leaked images that showed what kind of looked like it would be the dog pound. It just kind of went all the way up in the one end zone. And this was Ken this morning.
What if you have your fan wall, everything's there? By the way, I know what day it is. It's July 3rd. What if they just don't call it the dog pound until they make the playoffs? You got to make the playoffs in the building before it's actually called the dog pound. Hear me out on this. There's been a lot of people over these last 25 years ago. Yeah, they call it the dog pound, but it's not really the dog pound. The team's not good. What if you got to go to the playoffs in the new building before it gets called the dog pound?
I kind of
say it. Say it. Come on. We hadn't talked about this ahead of time, by the way. I know my immediate thoughts on it. Just be honest.
You don't need to earn no name, bro.
It was a dumb idea. You just can't say it was a dumb idea.
And so when you earn it.
I love you, Ken. It's a dumb idea.
When you earn it, like, you think people are going to embrace it? No, people, you have to talk things into existence. Like, you have to be the dog pound. You embody it. And then you put that level of energy out and
also,
the people respond to it.
Think of the mockery attached to the idea that if you go 3 or 4 years without making the playoffs and you're still trying to earn the dog pound title, it'd be like, it's been 4 years and we haven't earned the dog pound title. It's been 5 years, still haven't earned that dog pound title.
Man,
it's embarrassing is what it is.
We used to run around, and when we'd be in off-season conditioning, our coach whoever wasn't balling, they used to put red jerseys on you, and they say, you're a Miami Red Hawk for the day because you didn't live up to the standards of a Bobcat. And I infamously said, we're 1-10. You know what, Garrett Bush? You know what? You think you're so funny. I say, Coach, we 1-10.
I'd be like, you're like two games away from coaching JUCO again, Coach. I don't know what you're trying to prove here.
I'm still young. I mean, I got a lot to prove. I got a lot of growing up, man. But you, sir? Yeah, come on.
And that is quick hits. All right, something we said yesterday on with Jake caught G. Bush's attention in relation to Shedeur Sanders. He'll write that wrong. We'll do it next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.